sir. Everyone is lying. Lying to you. Except you and me. We're the good guys. Not them. They're the bad guys. The others. Those kids. The IRS. The United Nations. Bloomberg. Obama. The media. The elite. They will tell you facts. You do not need facts. You need guns. Sweet, sweet guns. Your only friends. Not them. They are bad guys. They are coming to take your guns, your ammunition, your family. To steal your car, punch your head, invade your home. You are alone, except for me and guns.
The most closely watched primaries of the 2014 election season, the Speaker of the North Carolina House, Tom Tillis, has won the Republican U.S. Senate nomination. He will now face Democratic Senator Kay Hagan in November in a race that could decide which party controls the Senate. The Republican primary drew national attention as it pitted Tillis, who was backed by much of the Republican establishment, against candidates with close ties to the Tea Party and the religious right. Some analysts describe the primary as a proxy war in the battle for the soul of the Republican Party. Tillis had received endorsements from big-name Republicans, including Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, and Karl Rove, as well as the National Rifle Association. One of his challengers,
Tea Party favorite
Greg Bannon, was backed by Senator Rand Paul, while another challenger, Mark Harris, a Baptist minister, drew support from Mike Huckabee. In the end, Tillis received 45% of the vote, enough to prevent a runoff. As Speaker of the North Carolina House, Tillis was a frequent target of the Moral Monday protests over the past 2 years.
Primaries were also held Tuesday in North Carolina to determine who'll sit on the state Supreme Court. The races have gained national attention because millions of dollars from outside groups have poured into the state to back conservative candidates. North Carolina is one of 22 states where judges on higher courts are elected rather than appointed. To talk more about North Carolina, we're joined by Chris Crum in Raleigh. He is Executive Director of the Institute for Southern Studies. Let's go first to the Tom Tillis race. Talk about the significance of what happened there. It is being seen as a bellwether for the Republican Party all over the country, Chris.
Well, North Carolina is a bellwether state, and this race, I think, just drove that home. Two of the big storylines for me are, one, this escalating arms race of big money that's increasingly deciding, including primary elections. We saw about $2 million coming in from outside groups that really wanted to back Tom Tillis as the establishment candidate for this Republican primary in an effort to topple Kay Hagan, the sitting Democrat, and eventually, like you said, win control of the U.S. Senate. So Tillis was aiming for this 40% number. That's how much he had to get to avoid a runoff. But it also pointed to another big storyline, which is this civil war that Republicans are facing with the Tea Party.
For us, for our values, we are good. The others are bad. Stand your ground. Everywhere you look, something has gone wrong. We will fix it with our guns. Our guns everywhere. Madmen are famous. You should be famous. You can be famous. You have a special kind of backbone to reject the world that surrounds you. Stand. Fight. You are alone, except for me and guns. When I snap my fingers, you will give me money. You will buy more guns from manufacturers who will in turn give me more money.
Thank you very much, and let's save this country together.
It's gonna be a real shame for our kids.
Yeah, they're the losers.
And it's, yeah.
In terms of academic achievement, Wake County is a nationally recognized school system.
Look out.
because of the good schools here, the economy has actually boomed and prospered. Are they really trying to reverse all that we've accomplished in these last 30 years?
Big money is definitely trying to change people's lives here. Koch brothers are fabulously wealthy billionaire oil barons.
Free enterprise, capitalism is alive and well.
And they're definitely pushing an agenda to resegregating the schools, but there's also a real push towards privatization.
The Koch brothers, of course, have a national libertarian agenda, and they have brought it to Wake County by means of the school board elections, and they want to destroy, really, the model of equal schools. Equal opportunity for every child.
It has also sparked this protest right in front of the Wake County School Administration building.
They do not like a large public school system. And they were determined to take it apart as quickly as they could.
The Wake County School Board threatens to turn back the clock to an era of segregation. We must stand up and fight back.
We're on the record talking about the most significant local school board election since the 1970s.
Follow the money, you can see it, it's real. The connection between the Koch brothers and what happened here with the Wake County School Board could probably be best traced if you look at Americans for Prosperity.
My brother Charles and I provided the funds to start the Americans for Prosperity.
Played a very important role in the Wake County School Board elections.
The future of the Wake County school system is on the line.
In just a few weeks, four of those school board seats are up for grabs.
The Koch brothers didn't put money directly into the Wake School Board elections, but indirectly, Americans for Prosperity put hundreds of thousands of dollars and a lot of effort into helping the school board candidates get first organized and then nominated and elected.
It's beyond my wildest dreams how AFP has grown.
It was the Americans for Prosperity and the Koch brothers. They were like in the Wizard of Oz, the Oz behind the scene, pulling levers and making things happen. I really had no idea.
Hey everybody, this is Furious George, signing in, WCOM LP Chapel Carborough, downtown community radio, also blasting out through WCOMFM.org. Check out FuriousG.blogspot. This is the Furious George Show. We do it every Thursday around 10 o'clock. It sometimes happens to be maybe just potentially offensive to some members of our listening audience, namely the Koch brothers, Art Poop, others. So we're going to spotlight those freaks on the radio tonight and some other craziness that's going on in downtown Raleigh on Monday, where folks are going to be doing a big protest against the Koch brothers and Art Pope and others who are trying to take over our lives, not just our state government. So we'll spotlight to that tonight, and we'll do some more craziness on the beat side, including something from we've got some stuff from there in the background, Two Fresh Beats. Just want to say thanks to the Moog Fest folks who made possible a trip for Furious and two fun, lucky callers who went to the Moog Fest last week in Asheville. We saw Two Fresh Beats, this band here in the background, on Broadway downtown Asheville, which is ironic because that's right where we used to do pirate radio before LPFM radio was even legal. And there we were in the streets banging it out. Meanwhile, there's a little local micropower station in Nashville that's broadcasting over there called WPVOM, Progressive Voice of the Mountains, and some other fun stuff. So anyway, I'm glad to be back. We're going to have some more fun tonight. Thanks for listening to Micropower Radio. I'm furious!
hard running for school board.
Oh, yeah.
And to know that our opponents are backed by these billionaires.
For me, my opponent, we had forums and debates, and she really pitched forced busing.
The school board crossed the line with forced busing.
Forced busing is absolutely a code word. It's a term, busing, used in the South by George Wallace.
Segregation now, segregation tomorrow. Segregation forever.
The voters in Wake County and North Carolina have rejected a forced busing policy.
We are winning the battle against forced busing.
My opponent, he just mainly talked about, he stressed neighborhood schools.
Neighborhood schools, neighborhood schools, neighborhood schools.
Neighborhood schools means we have our own schools and the blacks have theirs.
We heard loud and clear across this county. People wanted to go to a neighborhood schools model.
We should have our right to choose our own neighborhood, our own neighborhood schools.
He didn't talk about student achievement and helping all our schools get better.
There are always ways to improve the education of our students.
He would just read the script.
We have too many students traveling long distance to attend high schools and high school classes in the schools in our districts that do not perform.
We went to a gunfight with knives.
The heated race is over.
Justice! When do we want that?
And don't make any mistake about it. Your plan that you're putting forth today will resegregate the schools.
We had no idea what the stakes were.
Koch brothers might be best known for spending big to influence presidential campaigns, but they are now trying to throw a monkey wrench into the Columbus Zoo levy.
That's right. Americans for Prosperity, an organization backed by the Koch brothers, whose net worth now stands at more than $100 billion, lobbied to defeat the Issue 6 tax levy in Franklin County, Ohio, a small tax increase to fund expansion and maintenance at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium.
Advocacy group that was founded and is funded by the Koch brothers.
In some ways, Art Pope is sort of a junior-sized version of the Koch brothers. He has a what some people call a kind of a factory production line for his ideology. The people that work for his think tanks are on the radio, they have websites, they have publications that are statewide. They get their message out all the time.
Like this message, aimed right at the Moro Mundi's protesters.
Backed by a supportive liberal media, hundreds have been arrested for disrupting the state legislature. $1 million.
It accuses protest leaders of marching to protect access to government handouts.
These organizations are fighting to keep their spot at the public trough. Welcome to Money Monday.
Francis DeLuca once ran the North Carolina chapter of the Koch brothers' Americans for Prosperity. He's now head of the John William Pope Civitas Institute.
So Civitas Institute is heavily funded by the Pope Foundation.
And going into this race, it wasn't at all clear that Tillis, even with this establishment backing, really could pull it off. And in the end, he did. He got 45%. But it does raise the question, if those kind of right-wing challengers had coalesced around one candidate, maybe we would be seeing a costly runoff. But just because Tillis is the establishment candidate, of course, doesn't mean that he's a moderate candidate. He's also called himself the leader of the conservative revolution in North Carolina, which is why why he was a target of the Moral Monday protests. And he's on record. You've talked a lot in this show about climate change. Well, in a recent debate, he was asked flatly if he believed in the science of climate change, if that was a fact, and he said no. But that's an example of, I think, how the overall debate has shifted to the right. He doesn't agree in a minimum wage. He thinks that's an artificial standard that's being put on business. He promoted the anti-gay marriage amendment in North Carolina, kind of a series of positions that really puts him in the rightward camp. So even though he had a Tea Party challenge, it shows how much the political debate has shifted to the right in North Carolina.
Are assigned to school.
A big shakeup on the Wake County School Board could now impact tens of thousands of local families.
People have not really taken the time to listen to the students who are actually in these programs.
We met before sixth grade and we were in the dance ensemble together.
We consider each other twin sisters.
If it hadn't been for the diverse school system, I don't think we really would have had a chance to become such close friends.
This pretty much describes my education since kindergarten. This is diversity. When you walk in our classroom and you see the different types of students and the different people, this picture really does represent what it actually is.
Moses, come on, it's time to get up. Let's get started. Robert, let's go.
Y'all come on and let's go. We gotta get ready. We want to make sure that they get the best education that public money can buy.
Oh, there you go. One down.
With that idea, we've been able to make sure that they are receiving advanced classes.
The school board has started the process of phasing out the busing for diversity policy.
They're moving so quickly with what they want to do.
We're not going anywhere.
It happens so fast, and they're going to continue. The more they have in power, they're going to change the rules, the laws, whatever they can.
Bloomberg, Obama, the media, the elite. They will tell you facts. You do not need facts.
Please tell me the name.
went to a summer program that was run by the Cato Institute, the libertarian think tank, and he was quite swept up with libertarian ideology and the ideas of Ayn Rand. Once he was through college and he went to Duke Law School, he eventually became the general counsel in the family firm, and then he rose in the firm.
All the way to the top, becoming CEO of that family firm.
It's a privately held company called Variety Wholesalers. It was started by his forebears. It's a discount retail chain.
These are usually lower end discount stores than a Target or even a Walmart or a Kmart store. They go by a variety of different names. One of the largest chains he owns is called Roses. There's one called Maxway. He has great personal wealth and great family wealth.
And he had great political ambitions.
Pope served in the legislature for several terms back in the 1980s and into the 90s.
Art is he's a very bright man, and he knows the state budget, and he knows numbers inside and out. But he is not what you'd call the stereotypic political candidate. You know, the smiling, telegenic politician. And after a couple years, he ran for lieutenant governor and lost badly. And he realized he was not going to influence North Carolina politics by being lieutenant governor or governor. He was just unlikely to get elected.
Turns out he didn't need to get elected to win elections. He just had to put his money where it counted.
Prosperity and that ideology is very simple. What they're actually trying to do is dismantle the whole public school system.
If this policy goes through, the schools will become segregated.
I don't believe the courses, they will not have opportunities to take the advanced courses. That's critical, that they have opportunities, resources, so that they can become a productive citizen.
Chris, you mentioned the amount of outside money in this primary election race. Could you talk about who some of his backers, Tom Tillis's backers, were in this election?
Well, you saw two big players coming into the primary. One, nationally, was Americans for Prosperity. They have spent more money, this is the Koch brothers Tea Party group, they have spent more money attacking Kay Hagan than any other candidate across the country. And that started last fall. I mean, they've just been blanketing, a carpet bombing of the state of these attack ads, kind of trying to soften up support for Kay Hagan. Then on the other side, you saw millions of dollars worth of ads supporting Tillis to really make sure he could survive this primary challenge from the Tea Party right.
Oh!
again, there's about 1.6 million that came from Karl Rove's group, American Crossroads. Last year, they had set up this initiative called the Conservative Victory Fund, the whole idea being that they try to get the most electable candidates to face off in these general elections. So they wanted to make sure very early that you got somebody like Tillis, who's considered the more establishment candidate, who is going to survive the primary and come out in the end. And that outside money, I think in the end, you saw how close that vote was in the primary. I think you can really say that outside money played a big role.
I want to turn to comments of North Carolina House Speaker Tom Tillis in 2011 about residents on public assistance.
It was find a way to divide and conquer the people who were on assistance. We have to show respect for that woman who has cerebral palsy and had no choice in her condition, that needs help, and that we should help. And we need to get those folks to look down at these people who choose to get into a condition that makes them dependent on the government and say, at some point, you're on your own. We may end up taking care of those babies, but we're not going to take care of you. And we've got to start having that serious discussion. It won't happen next year. Wrong time, because it's going to be politically charged. One of the reasons why I may never run for another elected office is because some of these things may just get me railroaded out of town.
That was Tom Tillis in 2011, the North Carolina House Speaker. And let's go back to that clip from the North Carolina Republican Senate debate you just mentioned, when all the Republican candidates vying for their party's nomination said climate change was not a fact.
Is climate change a fact? Mr. Harris?
No.
Ms. Grant?
No.
Mr. Brandon?
No, got them close to trying it.
Mr. Tillis?
No.
So there you have it on both of these issues. Chris Crum, if you could address both and talk about the ads, which were very clear in talking about Tom Tillis as center-right.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's really been a difficulty trying to position Tillis, given that he had to run somewhat moderate, distinguish himself from the Tea Party challengers, but also had to be conservative to try to win over some of that support and also own up to his record. That clip about public assistance became somewhat infamous. I mean, rarely does a politician openly embrace a strategy where they say, we need to divide and conquer. Usually they don't claim that kind of strategy. Kind of harkens back to the Southern strategy that Richard Nixon mapped out for the South, 40, 50 years ago.
Republican candidates vying for their party's nomination said climate change was not a fact.
Is climate change a fact? Mr. Harris?
No.
Since instrumental measurements began in the 1880s, the past decade is officially the warmest on record. Previous research suggested that in the 1980s and 90s, warmer temperatures and higher levels of precipitation, factors associated with climate change, were generally good for plant growth. But it is possible we've had too much of a good thing. An updated analysis published this week in the journal Science indicates that as temperatures have continued to rise, the benefits to plant growth are now overwhelmed by longer and more frequent droughts. Scientists from the University of Montana investigated global net primary production of land plants using satellite data from the past three decades. An instrument on NASA's Terra satellite provides insight as to whether plants are actually benefiting from a changing climate.
Ms. Grant.
No.
Mr. Brandon.
No, God goes to try it.
Mr. Tillis.
No.
So there you have it on both of these issues. Chris Crum, if you could address both and talk about the ads, which were very clear in talking about Tom Tillis as center-right.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's really been a difficulty trying to position Tillis, given that he had to run somewhat moderate, distinguish himself from the Tea Party challengers, but also had to be conservative to try to win over some of that support and also own up to his record. That clip about public assistance became somewhat infamous. I mean, rarely does a politician openly embrace a strategy where they say, we need to divide and conquer.
How much of this is part of a much larger strategy?
Well, I mean, and tactically, it's the exact same thing that they're doing on Obamacare. You know, when you have this kind of disproportionate amount of money, it doesn't matter if you lie, because you can say, look, you know, this woman lost her health insurance and can't afford new health insurance because of Obamacare, and it can be completely false, and it can be called out as false by the different fact checkers, and the local paper can run something and you can get tisked, but they don't have the hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to air that ad. And the same on a different scale with this flyer. You put out a flyer that says your property taxes are going to go up. That's completely false, and a blogger might have picked that up in Franklin County. A paper might have mentioned it, but voters see the flyer. They see them everywhere. They're glossy, so they look official, and you go in and you vote it down.
Yeah,
so
you've also got the situation which the actual local issue six opponents, people were trying to get rid of it, were basically saying, yeah, the 105% number is kind of nutty, but you're right, it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. And you know, this is scary on another level too, because there are two ways that money works out there. There's reward, they try to encourage action by rewarding it financially, but the threat of spending money also discourages action. For instance, I know actually one progressive congressman who votes the Democratic Party line in a lot of ways, but he happens to have a very energetic billionaire who gets a lot of his money from for-profit schools in his district. Now, I don't think that they've ever had a conversation where he said, look, you need to vote with me on for-profit schools, or I'm gonna put together a war chest and come at you. But look, he votes for these for-profit schools, and it's out of character. But the threat of spending that money is what changes the calculus.
This is a great point. It's called I think one political scientist called it the iceberg theory of money in politics, right? What you see and what you don't see. In this case, we have this very clear example. This, you know, you see the flyers, Americans for Prosperity's name is on them. But the question is, the next time that you're some politician who wants to vote for a tax levy or wants to bring some local tax levy up because you need a new community center to get people some health care, or you need to hire some more teachers, right? You're going to be thinking about the threat of the fact that maybe some, you know, thousands, ten thousands, $100,000 going to rain down from these outside groups to beat you up over it, and that's going to make people think twice.
Segregate a southern school system. That's right, in America. And then along came the Koch-backed AstroTurf group, Americans for Prosperity. The group got involved in the local school board elections.
laughed at her when she pointed out that they're pushing for a drug test of welfare recipients in all these different states.
Who is this group telling state legislators from all over the country that they ought to adopt Florida's terrible law? Turns out they're part of a huge network of state-based conservative think tanks that is, frankly, kind of designed to not look like a network. They all look vaguely indigenous. They all have what look to be locally specific names. But their funding, if you follow it, comes in part from a central source of big money corporate donors, including groups affiliated with the Koch brothers. Now, we are not the first news outlet to report on the Koch brothers' funding distribution networks and the groups, small and large, all over the country who've received funding through the various mechanisms that the Koch brothers have set up to support conservative candidates and conservative activism and conservative research and conservative advocacy. And the Koch brothers' lawyers are not denying that they fund these networks, or that the Florida Foundation for Government Accountability is one of the groups that has been funded through these networks. But they really do not want anyone reporting any connection between what those groups do and who gives them the money that they do it with. The Koch brothers' letter to us includes a script that they want me to read to you on the air, denouncing my own reporting on the Florida drug test the poor story and telling you that they are not involved in promoting any such issue. I am not going to read their script. I'm not going to renounce my own reporting on this story, because the reporting on this story stands. It is true. And now we also know that the Koch brothers do not wish to be associated with the work and the causes that they have funded through their multi-million dollar, multi-year massive funding of networks of conservative organizations. You not wanting to be known for something that you have done is not the same thing as you not having done it. Contacted them for comment on our story, it was too late in the day for them, and that we should have given them more time to respond. And you know what? That is a fair point. We will endeavor in the future to contact them earlier in the day, and I'm sorry that our call came late. But we will not stop reporting on the political actions and the consequences of the political actions of rich and powerful men, even if they send angry letters every time we do it.
Thank you. After a flood of customer complaints, Kay Jewelers issued an immediate recall this week of over 2 million cursed engagement and wedding rings in their Neolane Bridal and Leo Diamond lines. Responding to reports that consumers who donned the blighted rings brought doom to all who encountered them, the company's director of public relations released an apology to those afflicted.
I can assure our customers that we were not aware our manufacturers were sourcing diamonds tainted by the Darkling Erla in the production of our 2014 line of rings. We're strongly recommending customers who have not yet returned their purchases for a full refund to place a mirror in a bowl of black salt, mold a poppet in your image out of clay and your lover's hair, and then burn the poppet in the mirror before the next full moon.
Industry experts are calling this the most egregious safety oversight in jewelry production since 1973, when Zales disturbed the grave of the 16th century sorcerer Maelor. Kay emphasized that if customers begin exhibiting symptoms such as teeth gnashing, blistering, coughing up snails, or slowly morphing into the animal that most closely resembles them, then they are running out of time.
Should immediately rub your body in wormwood and then sleep on a freshly dug grave for 8 consecutive nights.
Many consumers interviewed stress that they will be pursuing legal action for what they feel are grievous emotional and physical damages.
All my husband and I wanted were basic affordable wedding rings for our wedding day. Ever since putting this thing on, my hair is falling out. I don't sleep well. Sometimes I wake up and I'm trapped in this oil painting of a German village.
They told us that if we get pregnant between October and April, then there was a 68% chance that our child would be born with no soul. Well, Tara's due in December. They sent us this disclaimer suggesting we leave the changeling in the wood and return only at our own peril. You find out after the fact that it's a total.
It's time for the wormwood.
You need guns, sweet.
To me by anyone else. I do not play requests. I will happily make corrections when I do get things wrong. We do it on the show all the time. But I will not renounce or retract reporting that is true, even if the subjects of that reporting don't like it. Being a political actor means being subject to political scrutiny. If you don't want to be known for it, don't do it. Don't just complain when people accurately describe your actions. Your actions are what we are reporting on, and we will do that on our own terms as a free press.
All right, everybody. Hey, this has been the Furious George Show. We're just going to send it off here and then crank out in the next hour with some more furiousness. But definitely need to just acknowledge the show has been targeting the Koch brothers and Art Poop and others who control U.S. state legislature and other stuff going down, including North Carolina General Assembly. So we wanted to just talk about them tonight, and we will continue that here in a little bit longer with also some cool beats. So thanks for listening to Micropower Radio. If you want to learn more about WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro, go to WCOMFM.org, and you can learn more about the show. Low Power FM, LPFM means that we are essentially a micropowered community-based thing that is different than the big powered radio stations around town, and even the public radio stations. You know, they actually fought the existence of things like Low Power FM, community-based radio, non-commercial, genuine public radio. So in addition to not only taking over a piece of the airwaves, we happen to use it to spotlight the most crypto-fascist takeover of North Carolina government in my lifetime. Thanks for listening to Mike Power Radio. I'm furious!
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for. So world famous.
Somebody who has retained integrity and style while the music business has been torn asunder, to say the least.
Take.